What season are we now in? The Christmas season, shouts the world in unison. And the liturgical church meekly replies, no, it's the season of Advent, as she lights her dimly burning wreath in an ocean of Christmas lights. Living Advent while swimming in Christmas is tough sledding. Let us therefore retreat to the historic gospel reading, which we read, which predates Luther, and Lutherans retained for the first Sunday in Advent all the way till 1978. In this historic reading are signs of our season. While the world uses reindeer as a sign for their season of Christmas, you use a donkey. You see the bulletin cover? That's the one appointed for the first Sunday in Advent. A donkey carried Jesus into Jerusalem at its first Advent. You remember the scene from Palm Sunday, donkey, palms, cheering crowds. Yet you also recall that it was a humble entry on a pack animal, not a war horse, and a small one at that. How come a donkey is a fit symbol for the Advent season? Because as the donkey carried Jesus humbly into Jerusalem, so Mary carried Jesus in her womb through Jerusalem on her way to Bethlehem. No, I'm not calling Mary a donkey. I am saying that a donkey is a more apropos sign of Advent than any reindeer, flying or not. The donkey reminds us of the humiliation Jesus went through to redeem us. God the Son did not humble himself by becoming a man, but by the way he became a man, through the womb of a virgin. God could have taken on human flesh as a 3-month-old, popped into life as a 3-year-old, or popped into life as a 30-year-old. But God the Son willfully gave up the full use of his divine power as a man to descend to our very beginnings in order to live in a humble way upon the earth, keeping the law from the womb on. Return to the time Jesus came on Palm Sunday. That's the flavor, that's the tenor, that's the mood to catch at Advent. Christmas gives us warm fuzzies of family, home, and hearth. Nothing wrong with that. But these can push aside the reality that Jesus comes because we're sinners. Jesus comes in such a humble way, riding on a donkey, carried in a woman's womb, in order to reach all the way to our earliest beginnings to redeem us. A donkey will sooner remind you of that than a reindeer. A distinct sign of the world's Christmas is decorated trees, holly, and poinsettias. You can read what we know about the origins of the Christmas tree in the 3-tree brochure. You might know that the prickly holly was originally a symbol for the crown of thorns, and the red berries symbolized the blood of Christ caused by the crown. You probably know that the poinsettia was named after the first U.S. ambassador to Mexico, Joel Robert Poinsett. A Mexican legend has it that a poor boy was at the manger and wept because he had nothing to give the Christ child. Where his tears fell to the ground, the poinsettia popped up. Decorated trees, holly, and poinsettias, in America at least, were distinct signs of the Christian Christmas. Not anymore. Today they preach the world's holiday, not ours. It's as if the Christmas tree from A Charlie Brown Christmas, you know, the gaudy metallic one, has taken over. Likewise with the holly. People deck the halls with boughs of holly, fa-la-la-la-la-ing, with no thought of Christ or his thorns. And don't think pre-game football shows deck their sets with poinsettias to preach anything else other than the world's Christmas season. They use decorated trees, holly, and poinsettia. You use palms. The palms aren't mentioned in Luke's Palm Sunday account, but we know they were there from John's Gospel. Palms were a symbol for what the crowds were saying, "Our King is coming." Up north this time of year, you can't find a palm branch anywhere. Down here, you have them growing all around you. The palm testifies that we're preparing to welcome a king. Yes, we welcome friends, neighbors, co-workers, but they aren't what all the fuss of our season of Advent is about. King Jesus is. King Jesus came the first time and this time in our Advent season to proclaim a unilateral peace treaty. To the shepherds, you'll remember, God sent an angel from heaven to sing what we don't during the Advent season. Glory be to God on high, and on peace, goodwill toward men. In our text, you heard the crowd some 30 years later responding to God's original versicle with the response, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. At Christmas, themes of peace and goodwill among men, well, they're common. At Advent, peace and goodwill from God is. It's from Him to us. God establishes it all by Himself. But at what cost? To you, nothing. To Him, everything. Lighted and ornamented trees, holly and ivy and poinsettias can't preach that to you. But the palms can. Holly, ivy, and poinsettias stir Yuletide feelings, Christmas memories. The palms point you to Jesus being rejected as a king. The palms point you to the world rejecting God's peace and leading His only beloved Son out to crucifixion. But guess what? That right there was the cost of the world's peace. God established peace between Him and the world by shedding His Son's innocent blood to pay for and to cover up the sins of the world. I don't know, maybe you can, but I can't. Outside the church, I can't see the tree and the poinsettia as a sign for anything other than what the world celebrates this season. I can't get to the suffering and death of Jesus for me and my salvation on the tree of the cross via the Christmas tree. The holly and the ivy preach not of the suffering and blood of Jesus, but of decked halls. In poinsettias, they're a color of Christmas, not of Advent. So bring in the palms. They preach of Jesus' passionate suffering. I can't see a palm branch anywhere and not have this passing recall of Palm Sunday. And Palm Sunday fits better with the church's season of Advent than it does with the world's Christmas season. I'm not preparing to celebrate Jesus' birthday. I'm welcoming a king, a savior, a peacemaker who will sacrifice all in order to rule over me, to save me, and to make peace with me. All of our signs of the season of Advent have been hijacked by the world. They decorate Shrek's Christmas, the Grinch's, and Rudolph's too with them. Gone is any hint that Christmas is about Christ or about people so lost to sin, death, and the devil that unless Christ comes at Christmas, they are lost forever. One symbol that the world did not get from us is the talking snowman. They can have him as a symbol for their Christmas season. You take for your Advent season talking stones. Remember those talking fish from years ago? Some enterprising Christian should make a talking rock to put under the tree. Talking stones are a sign of our Advent season in this way. God the Son, second person of the Godhead, coming to us in our flesh and blood, that's a big deal. That's a really big deal. But the first time He came, He did it so quietly, so unassumingly. He came into the womb of a nondescript virgin from Nazareth, was born in a backwater town where no one had so much as a crib to spare Him. Only shepherds got the full birth announcement. The last time Jesus comes, well, that'll be different. That's the theme for the last three Sundays in the church year. No one in the universe is going to miss Jesus when He comes on the last day. Jesus says His appearing is going to be like lightning that bursts bright from one end of the sky to the other. That's when the dead rise. That's when the dividing of the sheep from the goats happens. That's when the unbelievers will mourn as one does the death of an only child. That's when they will beg the mountains and the hills to fall on them to hide them from the wrath of Him who sits on the throne and of the Lamb. But the first and the last coming of Jesus are only two of the ones we remember in Advent. There's another coming between the first at Christmas and the last at Judgment Day. It's Jesus coming in word and sacraments today. This coming has elements of both the others. To the world, it's quiet and it's very missable, like his first coming was. To us, this coming leads to judgment in the sense that Paul speaks of in 1 Corinthians 11. Before meeting our Lord as he comes in word and sacrament today, we judge ourselves so that we might not be condemned with the world on the last day. Can you see how the ongoing arrival of our Lord and Savior in baptism, in the Word, and in communion gets pushed aside this time of year? The coming of the world's Christmas is huge compared to our Lord's coming in water, words, bread, and wine. The world doesn't see this coming and sees no need for a season of repentance called Advent. Now, we're tempted to follow suit. We feel a pull to get in the Christmas spirit and leave our lowly little season of repentance for a holly jolly Christmas season. But the talking stones won't let us. Jesus says, if my disciples keep quiet, the stones will cry out. You think he's exaggerating? You don't think the one who could make a donkey speak can make stones cry out? You don't think the one who has seven talking thunders in heaven can have talking rocks on earth? Wherever Jesus comes, it's a big deal. The God of all creation, even in flesh and blood, must be praised, must be glorified, must be hymned, and must be worshipped. And he will be. Paul says that his last coming, every knee in heaven, on earth, and in hell itself will bow, and every mouth will confess Jesus Christ as Lord. The first time he came, only dirty shepherds, foreigners from afar, and old people did that. His coming was so ordinary, so weak, that it was overlooked. But if no one had sung his praises at that first time, then the rocks would have. And so it is now. Let talking rocks be a sign of the season of Advent. The rocks don't miss Jesus as he comes in the waters of baptism, in the words of absolution, or in the bread and wine of communion. They see the miracle. And if you and I don't cry out in prayer, praise, and thanks with angels, archangels, and all the company of heaven, then the very stones will. Go ahead, put up what used to be the American symbols of the Christian Christmas. But no one's going to ask you about a decorated tree, holly and ivy, or a poinsettia. They will ask about a donkey, a palm branch, or a talking stone. Moreover, these without fail point you to Christ's advent rather than the world's Christmas, because they are signs of the times and ways that Jesus comes to you, and more importantly, for you. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.